Welcome to the Bidwell Presbyterian Church Podcast. The church is located next to California State University, Chico. For updates on services, congregational care, and community outreach, please visit our website at bidwellpres.org. The following sermon, The Sloth of Moses, part of the series Our Story, Finding Themes of Redemption, Identity, and Calling in the Book of Exodus, was given by Pastor Greg Cuzzone on Sunday, October 15th, 2023. May you experience God's grace and joy on the journey.
I feel a little bit filled up today. As one of my favorite preachers, Charlie Dates, would say, I got some Holy Spirit today. Are you ready for this worship today? Okay. All right. That's a destination check, okay? So the sermon is The Sloth of Moses. And so let's ask God to bless us, to open us up to what God wants to speak today. Would you join with me? As Charlie Dates, the pastor, would pray, Lord, keep me from boring your people. And give me your Holy Spirit that I may preach with power and clarity. And that the words that you speak through these words might become a living word to each of us. Through the word Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. The sloth of Moses. I'm going to be preaching on sin today. So I hope you're ready for this. I'm going to be preaching on the sin of sloth. So I've got to get one image in your head to get it out of your head. I think Heinz found this earlier, one of our, there it is. Isn't that cute? Yeah, they're really cute, the little sloths, three-toed sloths. They sleep a lot, they have cute little faces. I mean, how could you turn down that little face, right? But let's get that out of our head. You mind taking it off on the screen? Sloth is actually not being lazy. In the great history of Christian reflection on our spiritual life, sloth is not primarily about being lazy. Sloth is in resisting God's leading and call in our lives. Resisting. God? Yeah, but. As Lori preached earlier. Now, you might remember that the series we're in is called Our Story, Finding Themes of Redemption, Identity, and Calling in the Book of Exodus. Redemption, identity, calling. Sloth and sin remove those true identity, true calling, true redemption from our lives. Because we miss out, again, as Lori said earlier, on the great story that God wants us to be a part of. So listen for the scripture today from the Hebrew Bible, Exodus chapter 4, and see if you hear a little bit of the sin of sloth that Moses might be falling prey to as God calls him. And recognize that as you've been hearing, God has just appeared to Moses and shown his power in the burning bush and already responded to some objections that Moses had. Verse 1. In light of this, then Moses answered to God, but look, they may not believe me or listen to me, but say, the Lord did not appear to you. The Lord said to Moses, what is in your hand? And Moses replied, a staff. And God said, throw it down. So Moses threw the staff on the ground, and it became a snake. And Moses drew back from it. Moses drew back, and then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and seize it by the tail. So Moses reached out his hand and grasped it, and it became a staff in his hand. And God then says, so that you may believe that the Lord, the God of their ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. Again, the Lord said to Moses, put your hand inside your cloak. Moses put his hand inside his cloak, and when he took it out, it was diseased, white as snow. Then God said, put your hand back in your cloak. And so Moses put his hand back in his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his body. God said, if they will not believe you or heed the first sign, they may believe the second sign. If they will not believe even these two signs or listen to you, you shall take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground, and the water you take from the Nile will become blood on the dry ground. Now, always pay attention to the word but in Scripture. But Moses said to the Lord, and now we want to add to this what he says, do you want a little cheese and crackers with this wine, Moses? Oh, my Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor even now that you've spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Then the Lord said, who gives speech to mortals? Who makes them mute or deaf, seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to speak. But Moses said, oh, please send somebody else. Now I want to put there, and what have I done to deserve this? Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses and said, What of your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. Even now he is coming out to meet you, and when he sees you, his heart will be glad. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with you, your mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do. He indeed shall speak for you to the people. He shall serve as a mouth for you, and you shall serve as God for him. Take the staff in your hand with which you shall perform these signs. May God add a blessing to this, the reading of his word. We see in this passage that Moses is continuing his objections to God's call. I ask you to listen for the signs of the sin of sloth. He's already had two. He's got a couple more in this passage. And we see God actually getting frustrated or mad with Moses. Now, I don't know how to read this exactly. We could get into what's called the immutability, the unchangeableness of God, and whether God actually would change and suddenly get mad or have emotions. And all I can say is that in the Scripture, it's clearly a part of what God is. God seems to respond to us. And again, I'm going to go back to the great children's message from Lori. Well, if Moses had ultimately rejected God, God would have found another leader. So God does respond to us. And somehow in this passage, God has a deep, burning anger and has to remind Moses, you know, who gives you the gifts that you have? Who gives speech to mortals? Jesus also reminded his disciples that when they go up for persecution, Jesus said this, do not worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are for what you are to say will be given to you at the right time. For it's not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. From Matthew 10th chapter. I want to observe this text. I want to observe that Moses is toying with falling into the sin of sloth. Sloth meaning resistance to God. And in preparation for this message, I went back to this great theologian that I lean on for understanding the biblical text. Karl Barth wrote this about sloth. Sloth is human inaction, human responsible and culpable refusal to act. Sloth is not pride, where we say we are like God, where we maybe think a little too much of ourselves. Sloth is perhaps when we don't think enough of how God has gifted us and given us every good and perfect gift to speak and to act. Sloth is refusing Jesus' call as the God-man, as fully God and fully man, Barth says, to raise us up to what we are truly called to be. The first Adam marked us with sin, and it's a sin we all commit. And the second Adam, Jesus, marked us with redemption and raises us up. I hope you're okay with a little heavy theology today, because it makes my heart sing to hear how good God is in coming in Jesus Christ. Are you okay with that today? Think about Moses in light of this. Moses almost fell prey to the sin of sloth, and there are three things that helped him to overcome it. Because sloth is spiritual apathy. It's a lack of spiritual enthusiasm. And through the book of Exodus, Moses gets together with God and is given new enthusiasm for the task before him. Moses, secondly, does not fall prey to giving up, but shows resilience and determination. And he goes, even though there's grumbling in the wilderness and there's resistance at the Sea of Reeds or the Red Sea, Moses keeps going and is resilient and determined. He says no to the sin of sloth. Moses ultimately shows purpose and determination and resilience. And so that's why we can learn from Moses. Now, I want to ask a question here, because this is the question we all have to ask. What does this text mean for us today? Because Moses had a pretty particular calling. I don't think we're going to lead a people out from an Egyptian king and, you know, part the sea and do kinds of stuff that Moses did. Moses had a particular calling at a particular time. And I'm afraid sometimes when we look at texts like this that we may say, great for Moses, now let me get on with my life. Moses, you do you, I do me, right? And sometimes we want to make a little too much out of Moses as if he's perfect. In a book I was reading this week, I came across this section. The book overall was good, but here, this section, see what you think. Moses, quote, routinely sought God out, or God sought him out. There was an encounter, and then Moses did what God told him to do. For Moses, leadership was that simple. I almost wrote in the margin, not really. Not really. Oh, something so good. There's something so good in the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, that describes spirituality so well. See, as Christians, I think we're given over to what one of our former interns for the college ministries, Jamie Plater, used to call bubbles and kittens theology. You know, bubbles and kittens theology, everything's sweet, everything's nice, everything's easy. Well, do you remember Jacob in Genesis 32? Jacob in Genesis 32 is wrestling with the angel. And it says that in the text, his name's changed to Israel. And Israel means not the one who is so comfortable with God, not the one who feels a deep sense of peace at all times, but the one who struggles with God. Do you get the spiritual implications The very name of God's people in the Hebrew Bible is the ones who struggle with God. And if you know anything about the life of Moses, he keeps encountering God. And what we can learn from him is knowing God is not simple. Knowing God is a struggle, because God is going to call us to things that are going to take us out of what we would naturally do. I mean, this is where it gets so good. This is why I feel the Holy Spirit coming on today. Because how do we get to this place where Moses was able to make some good decisions? And how do we take this down a little bit to where we are in everyday life? I don't want this just to be great for Moses, not so good for me. The first thing Moses did is he was open to God's presence in his life. Now, some of you know that I wrote a book called Say Yes to No. And you might want to call me because of that Dr. No, right? That's a good book, I hope. I hope it meant something to people. It's about nurturing no's, giving us boundaries. It's important. But then I actually wrote a book after it called A Time for Yes. And I was trying to find out, who are some people who speak about the yes of our lives? And one of those is the author Kathleen Norris in her book Amazing Grace. I believe it's called Amazing Grace, A Vocabulary of Faith. Kathleen Norris writes this: to say yes is to make a leap of faith. This is true just in relationships with human beings, but also in a relationship with God. Back to Kathleen Norris. To say yes is to make a leap of faith, to risk oneself in a new and often scary relationship, not being quite sure of what we are doing or where it will lead us. We try on assent. We commit ourselves to affirmation. And with luck, we find that our efforts are rewarded. The vocabulary of faith begins. So I've learned over the years, learned from one of my mentors, the pastor at Fifth Avenue Presbyterian, Tom Toole, to listen to God's nudges. To God's nudges. Maybe you know what those nudges are about. I'll tell you what they mean for me. They mean that I commit to people God has nudged me to pray for regularly. And I think this is important for all of us as Christians. So every morning, pretty much the first thing I do is I start praying for Laura, my wife, and our children, Lizzie and Melanie, and then I pray for these people that God has put in my heart. And as I feel God leading me to do that, I will then text them, just praying for you today. I did it this morning, and it's a person that God has, I don't see this person regularly at all in person, but she's a deep friend, and God has, as I said, given me a burden to pray for her, and she's had a really tough couple of years. And she texted me back and said, that's exactly what I needed at this moment. And she's told me over the years, over the past couple of years, you know, you're praying for me. It's holding me up that God loves me at a time I barely feel it. Now, I hesitated to tell you that story, just to tell you the truth, because it's kind of like the pastor brag session, right? But it's not that difficult. You might say, well, Greg, why aren't you doing something more extreme than that? Well, I probably could do that. But see, this is simple. This is just praying for friends. I mean, here's something that was really difficult this week. And you heard about it earlier in Ray's pastoral prayer, where Michelle Eaton had had this terrible fall, where she had become paralyzed and was really on the edge of death. And she knew it. And thankfully, this past week, she was not verbal because she was intubated, but she was able to respond. And as I was there with the family, like Ray was this week, she knew that she was probably going to die soon. And so I went and I read some scripture. I read John 14. In my house are many rooms. I go to prepare a place for you, this promise of Jesus. And I said, Michelle, you're doing something that has so much courage to face that next step after this life is over and have confidence that God is going to join you in that new life to come. That is bravery. She faced that with faith. That's when the pastor learns from the congregant. But lest I leave you with only sad stories, I was also reminded in this passage of Shannon Kuhn, Shannon Christopher, when she became installed as pastor here at the church. And many of you interact with Shannon over the years, and that's why I brought this mask. Because Shannon and I, well, I've known Shannon since 1998. She was a member at Fifth Avenue Presbyterian, and we both loved a movie. Can anybody say what movie this is a part of? It's good to know I'm joined here. It's good. This is from Nacho Libre. And every time I mention this movie and recommend it, people are like, Craig, that movie is quirky and weird. So if you're ready for a weird and quirky movie, you can take my recommendation. But I also want to say, is your spiritual life ever quirky and weird? So the story's about this this cook in a monastery, an orphanage, named Ignacio, or Nacho. And it's actually based on a true story, which is even more amazing. It's about this cook, this actual priest, who would go out and, for the sake of the orphans, would moonlight as a luchador libre. They put on the masks, right, and they free wrestle. And Ignacio realized that this was a very odd desire he had, to want to become a luchador libre and to, for the sake of the orphans. And he faces these problems. The first is, he's in an orphanage that believes that it's not Christian to wrestle. As he says to the boys who love wrestling, listen to Ignacio, I know it is fun to wrestle, but you cannot do it because, and this is great how we often make up biblical quotes, because it says in the Bible not to wrestle your neighbor. Isn't that great? Yeah, Lynn liked that one. I agree. It's really good. The second problem is that he's not a very good luchador libre. And at one point he's praying, Ignacio, and he says, Precious Father, why have you given me this desire to wrestle and then made me such a stinky warrior? Now, do you ever feel that way? I mean, that song that we were just led in, you know, Lord, lead me, I'm here for you. I'm paraphrasing, but when we say that, do you feel like, oh my goodness, Lord, how could you ever use me? I'm going to get to that in a minute. The third problem, at least the third problem, he meets a nun, a beautiful nun named Encarnacion, and she doesn't believe in wrestling. She says, Ignacio, luchador libre, it's a sin. And Ignacio says, but why? Because those men fight for vanity, for money, for false pride. Ignacio responds, yes, it's terrible, it's terrible. But is it always a sin to fight? And the words of grace come from this very legalistic nun, Encarnacion. No. If you fight for something noble or for someone who needs your help, then God will bless you in the battle. Now, the resolution to the movie is this. He's fighting, that is Ignacio, the greatest luchador libre of all, Ramses, fighting to raise money for the orphans, and he's about to lose. He's in a really tight headlock. And Encarnacion shows up with the kids in support. Of course, the boys are excited about wrestling, and Nacho finds new strength, and he wins. Because he finds there's something worth struggling for. Now, when I was talking with Shannon about this and preaching at her installation service as she's starting her pastoral ministry, I said this, which I think is a good word for us too. We are called to do something that blesses others. When we say yes to Jesus Christ, we say yes to a call to bless others. And you know who those others are, according to John 3:16? For God so loved the world. Our partisanship is with all people created in God's image. We can advocate for what's important in life. And here's the part I said to Shannon, which may be true for us too. And God will call us into some unusual places when we say yes to God. Now, did Moses have any idea where he was going? A little bit, but not exactly. Did Moses perhaps have resistance because he was unsure? Probably. I'm going to close with this. There is a good news in this calling. I don't know if you know the pop singer Justin Bieber, but, you know, he's had some pretty public misdoings over the years. And a few years ago, he came out with a gospel album called Freedom. I think it was like 2 years ago. And in the midst of that album, he says this. And maybe you feel this way when you want to say yes to God. And my job as a minister of the gospel is make sure that the gospel is always proclaimed. It's not just about the demand and the call. It's also about the fact that God will equip us. And you can say amen to that one, okay? Here's what Justin Bieber puts into this one of his songs. God, can you use imperfect people? God, can you use imperfect people? Because I'm broken through and through. You might feel that when you hear a message about Moses, about the sin of sloth. Well, how can God, you use an imperfect person? One time we were listening to a song in my house, and I said this to Laura. Laura, can God use imperfect people? And she said, he better be able to, because that's all he's got. And so the gospel in this message on the sin of sloth, partly what you heard earlier in the children's message, God has got this big plan for us. God has got this graciously wider plan than we could ever have for our lives. The one is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all we ever ask or even imagine by the power that is at work within us. And also what I told Shannon at her installation service, 1 Thessalonians 5:24. The one who calls you is faithful. The one who calls you, you. The one who calls us is faithful. He will equip us, and he will do it. The reason to not give in to the sin of sloth is because there's a greater plan and a greater promise God has, and that's the good news. Amen. Well, thank you for that sign of support. I appreciate it. I usually try to pray really quickly, so that could never happen. But anyway, thank you for. We do also, as pastors, love when you help us along. So anyway, let's pray together. God, we thank you for your goodness to us and this big calling you have. We may not have as much faith in what we can do as you do. And I feel that there are people in this congregation that are saying, I don't know if I can take the step. And I want us to hear again that the one, you who call us, are faithful, and you will equip us. You will do this thing. Fill us with your Holy Spirit as we pray and ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.